The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ariana, Carly, Jessa, Jaden, I have a confession to make to you. I come here today a little bit worried, concerned, that my words might not have lasting impact on your life. Truth of the matter is, when I come to weddings and funerals and baptisms and confirmations, like all preachers, I desire to have words that will stir your hearts and souls and minds. Words that will leave an indelible mark upon your psyche. So when you're 58 years old, you can draw upon them and find hope and inspiration. I don't know if I possess those words. Truth of the matter is, I don't think I do. But nevertheless, I will speak to you the truth as I believe it to be. You are coming to a time in your life when the world will unfold before you as a series of choices. We call that freedom. Here, living in a democratic country with opportunities afforded to men and women, opportunities of study, opportunities of work, opportunities of love and romance, of marriage, life unfolds before us and we are given many choices. Soon you will be driving. You'll have the choice to buy a car or not. You have the choice to assume debt or not. Soon you'll start having choices in who you date and who courts you. Soon you'll have choices about which school you go to. You'll have choices about whether you go to school or not go to school. You'll have choices about whether you take a career or a trade or study towards a designation. You may choose a husband. You may choose to have children. You may choose to leave this city. You may even choose to live under your parents' roof. Much to their chagrin, I'll tell you. And along the way of these big choices of life, what we'll be, who we will live with, what we will do, where we will live, will come hundreds of thousands of little choices. Choices that we make on the journey of life. Choices that we are told in the Bible will cause some to be built up and will cause others to be teared down. We'll make choices about who we are friends with. We'll make choices about whether we give compliments or criticisms. We'll give choices about what we eat. We'll give choices about what sports we pursue, what television shows we watch, what books or magazines we read, where we vacation, what we wear, what we drive. The list of choices that lays before you is endless. This is freedom. And this is adulthood. Today you come before this congregation, your families, baptismal sponsors, friends, brothers and sisters, and you make a choice. You make the choice of commitment. That is what confirmation is, to confirm. the presence of the Holy Spirit, to confirm the gift of faith that God gave you in baptism, to stand before your peers and others and say, yes, this is real for me. That Christ is a present reality. That this person's death and resurrection 2,000 years ago has an impact on who I am. This is a choice. It is a choice that you make. But this is also a choice not of empty words, not of sheer flattery for parents and grandparents and sponsors, but it's a choice of a direction in life. I worry. I have done countless baptisms. I have had the pleasure of being present at many confirmations. And I hear the words, like the seeds of the sower that land on the ground and quickly sprout up. I hear words, encouraging words. Yes, I know Jesus loves me. Yes, I want to live a life of prayer and discipleship and involvement in the church. But somewhere along the way, choices are continually made that pull them away from that original commitment. It's never a big choice. When I go and visit people from confirmation 5 years ago, when I go and visit families from baptisms a few years ago, and I say, I haven't seen you in a while, what's going on? Well, we've been meaning to come, but we have hockey every Sunday morning. We're at the cabin at the lake. Just can't find the time. The kids are too rowdy. And little do they know, all these choices pull them away from their original vows and their original promises. For make no mistake, that is what you make today. Your parents stood at this font or a font like it and made promises on your behalf. They promised to put in your hands a copy of the Holy Scriptures. They promised you to help you grow in the Christian life. They promised to teach you the prayer, the creed, the Ten Commandments. They promised to pray with you, to grow with you, to model Christ-like love. They made those promises. And on the way, they made decisions to uphold those promises. Do we take 30 seconds and pray before supper? Do we set the alarm clock Sunday morning and come to church? Do we talk about Jesus on a long car ride? Do we discuss events in the world? Do we take time Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of a Savior? All along the way, your parents made choices to bring you here. And now you stand forward as adults and you make a choice. But it needs to be a continuing choice. It is an orientation. For the world will offer you many different choices. Today in our gospel reading, Christ uses the imagery of the vine and the branch. Christ says, I am the vine. You are the healthy branch that's supposed to bear much fruit. And God is like the gardener that prunes you and cares for you and sees that you continue to grow and multiply and strengthen. But Christ gives a word of warning and says, if you are a dead branch, if you are a useless branch, if you don't bear any fruit, then you're cut off from the tree and you wither and you die. The choice the world will put before you is who or what is your vine. The world will come to you and say, hook yourself onto me. Let me be your strength and your inspiration. Today we have from the reading from 1 John those famous words, God is love. And to experience love is to experience God. And the world will say, no problem, we have love in abundance. You will love what I have for you, the world says. We have carnal love. We have monetary love. We have the love of the things we can buy. We have the love of the things that we can do. We have love for the people we can be with. We can have a love for our bank accounts. We can have a love for our home. We can have a love for a boyfriend. We can have a love for the things that we can do. We can have a love for the things that people say about us. We can have a love for the way we look. But is that love? As we have it in the Bible, love. And as I've experienced in my own life, in my marriage, with my children, in this congregation, in the world, love is not what I deem something to be. Love is not that which I like. To say I love it is only confirming, is only reaffirming my own desires. It's making things okay. I love to eat that, so I better eat it. I love that, so I better have it. I love doing that, so I better do it. But that's not love. Like and love are two different things. True love, as we see in the Bible, true love that I pray that you're able to experience with a future husband or friend or confidant is found in sacrifice. It's found in giving of yourself. It's found in someone else giving themselves to you. It's found in putting the needs of others before that of yourself. It's not found in the heebie-jeebies and the feel-good and the flutters of the heart. It's found in commitment. It's found in sacrifice. It's found in the depth of human experience. When we say God is love, we are saying God is sacrifice. That God has sacrificed for us, and we are called to sacrifice for God. To give to the work of God our time and our talents and our resources. All things the world will say, those are precious. Keep them for yourself. Don't worry about sharing them. The world will say, you can be the chooser of your destiny. We live in a connected age, an age of internet and cell phones, an age of air travel and long-distance commutes. We, the church, are inviting you into our community, imperfect as we are. But the world says, no, you can be selective. You can just a click of your mouse make your friends on Facebook. You can have 300 people that think just like you, and if someone steps out of line, click. And they are erased ever from memory. We don't need to go to a building to see people face to face and share a cup of coffee and shake hands and pray for them. I can lay in the bed in my jammies and touch my text cell phone. But there's something about human contact. For here, we join ourselves to the vine. We are called to be nourished with the Word. We are called to be nourished with the sacraments. We are called to be reminded of the risen Lord and Savior. We are called to be reminded of our choice. Of our choice to sacrifice for God. We are called to join these groups. Sports teams. Book clubs. Friends at work. Neighbors. Relatives. You name it. We're called to join these groups and give into them. And we're called to bear fruit into those groups. To sow the fruit of love and joy and peace and hope and forgiveness. And we are able to love and we are able to sacrifice because God loved and sacrificed for us. Today, you begin a journey. You will leave here today in the eyes of the church as adults. Full voting members of the church, instructed in faith, the creed, Martin Luther, the Lord, the prayer, the Ten Commandments, all those baptismal vows that your parents made on your behalf. But it's the start of a journey, not the completion. You step forward, and you are called to continue to make choices. The choices that bear fruit. The choices that build up instead of tearing down. The choices that say to the world, yes, Jesus is real. That say to the world, yes, Christ lives. And we do that by bearing fruit. By bringing hope. By bringing sacrifice and charity and peace and love to those that we encounter. We are not just individuals. We are not just consumers going through life looking to take these things from others. You make me feel good about myself, Jaden. I want you around me. Jessa, you give me things. I want you around me. Carly, you look good with me. I want you around me. Ariana, you're smart, so you make me smarter. I want you around me. No. I'm just using you. I'm just taking you. I'm just trying to benefit myself because of you. In the Christian community, as the vines or the branches grafted onto Christ, we are called to go into the world and bear those fruits. And say, wow, I really like you. Wow, you're really special to me. Wow, I really appreciate your intelligence. Wow, I love you for who God made you. How can we enrich each other's lives together? The Christian life is of giving. Giving of the Spirit. The bearing the fruit. Christ gives us the word of warning. If we stop bearing fruit, if we quit dropping the fruit of love and peace and forgiveness and joy into our relationships, guess what happens to us? We wither and die, we're told. As human beings, we wither and we die. Because we have no joy, we have no hope. We are not connected to anything greater than us. We have no source of power outside of us. We have no knowledge of a life beyond that of ours. We have no narrative to put the world into focus. And so our lives become smaller and smaller and smaller. All our lives become is looking for those who can better us. And eventually those people figure it out pretty quick. And then we're left alone. Withered, dry, and rotten. Because we've never found out how to bear our own gifts. We've always looked to the world to provide us with happiness. We've looked to the world to provide us with joy, with love, with tingles, and with satisfaction. And when the world stops delivering that, when we can't buy any more of it, when I can't coerce you to give it to me, when I can't control you to make me feel that way, then we are withered and dead. Because we have no hope outside of us. And it will happen. It will happen. We will go through periods of darkness in our lives. And I can pray that you don't go through them, but you will. You'll go through them in relationships. If you have children, you will go through them with children. You will go through them with finances. You will go through them with your spouse if you have a spouse. And you will go through it with help as you lie on your deathbed. And the world will seem to have nothing to offer. It'll offer platitudes. It'll say, oh, I wish things could be better. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, behind every cloud is a rainbow. But those won't do anything for you. But the power of the Spirit, the power of God's Word, the knowledge of the vine that you are connected to, and the life that God breathes through you and grows in you and prunes to help grow larger in you, is the gift of faith. That is the gift that I'm proud and happy to celebrate with you today. Amen.